Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thanks for downloading Sunranto's pre-posterous show. It's our pre- and post-game from yesterday. You can hear what we thought was going to happen, and you can hear what happened after the game. So I just wanted to give you a quick message, because this show is brought to you by all of our Patreon subscribers. They help pay the bills around here, and you can subscribe too for early and ad-free access to the audio version of this show. Obviously, we go live and on YouTube and Facebook, on Crawley's Clubhouse and the Sunranto page, but if you prefer listening to it in podcast form, well, you can do it early through patreon.com/sunranto, and also ad-free, so you won't have to hear the ads that are embedded within this particular production about, you know, Manscaped and betonline.ag. Those are our sponsors for this version of the show, but you don't have to hear that. You just subscribe at patreon.com/sunranto. It's very easy. It's $1 a month. Won't you join us? Cubs preview. Cubs preview. Cubs preview. From the Sunranto Show. Happy Saints Clinchington's Day to one and all. Today is the day that it is possible that the Cubs can clinch the NL Central, and the year 2020 will go down as the greatest year that ever existed in the history of years, because the Cubs are in the playoffs. And joining me by black screen is Crawley's Cubs. Crawley, what happened to you? I want to call you, and now I can't see you. Let me show you somebody else tonight. This is Colonel Clinch. Colonel Clinch, he's showing up to the game tonight, and also we have the Pope is very excited for St. Clinchington's Day this year. You know, it's been a while. There he is.
St. Clinchington's Day. How exciting.
Yeah, St. Clinchington's Day. And we got a few game notes on the Clinchingtons. The magic number is now one, as many of you know that watch this show. And if St. Louis loses like they did one of the games yesterday, or the Cubs win, then the Cubs win the first NL Central title since 2017. We are at 33-25 right now, a 569.
Nice.
Winning percentage. And Chicago, we have the fourth best record in the NL behind the Dodgers, the Padres. Dodgers have won 41 games. They've only lost 17 so far. That's pretty damn good. Padres. Then the Braves, who are now the second seed, how it works, you know, with the first and second place. And the Cubs are now the third seed in the playoffs going into today. We'd be one of three NL Central clubs to get to the postseason, including St. Louis and Cincinnati. We'll take a look at that in a second. And, of course, everybody knows that last night, winning 10-0 against the White Sox behind my man Yu Darvish. You know, that brought a three-game losing streak to an end. And, you know, it was a three-game losing streak against the Pirates. Let's not forget how disappointing that was, because we should have already clinched. We should have already celebrated St. Clinchington's Day. But, unfortunately, it's our second-to-last game of the season. We're on the south side trying to celebrate. So,
well, you know, it was an interesting game last night. You know, Yu Darvish looked good. He had a little bit of struggles, but in general he looked good. And then just the offense and how much they needed it, and how much Willie got everybody fired up with that bat flip around the world.
Oh, man. I love this from Contreras. I saw this online. This is Contreras said, I know it was coming because I think they felt disrespected. I celebrated with my teammates and got pumped up. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I have no regrets. And Patrick Mooney had, I'm not going to change anything. I play hard for my team. I always want to do the best for my team. But if they don't like me, that's fine. I don't play for other teams to like me anyways. And if I have to do it again, I will do it again. Now, we asked Levante last night, our White Sox fan friend and mentor over at Lost Boys, what he thought if there would be some more bad blood today, because you know you had the bat flip and then you had the Wilson wearing one in his back. So I don't know, what do you think? I mean, you got big BDJ on the mound tonight, so you got to be thinking like if anybody's going to be throwing, this is his last start possibly in a Cubs uniform. He's going to be throwing at Abreu?
No, I don't think there's any retaliation at anybody. The Cubs have a mission, and that mission is to win the Central and to give themselves the best path forward possible. So at this point, you want to make
you say
the 59th best podcast. Beth,
yeah, the best path.
The best path possible to win this. And so, you know, maybe next year somebody wants to throw at somebody. I don't give a shit. It's just a matter of right now, at this point, win. Win the Central. Fly the W, take a picture on their mound and disrespect the shit out of it, and then have everybody rest on Sunday. How's that sound? You know, that to me is a plan. Take care of business. I don't want to worry about Milwaukee and St. Louis. I want the Cubs to take care of their business. I want them streaking, getting hot right at the right time. I made this today, and I put this up on Twitter and on the Facebook page. White Sox fans, when the Royals throw at Tim Anderson after a bad flip. White Sox fans, when their pitcher throws at Wilson Contreras after a bat flip. Mm-hmm. So their pitcher got a 3-game suspension?
Yeah. Cordero, Cordero means lamb in Espanol.
Right.
And so I tweeted out lamb to the slaughter. But most people aren't going to get that joke because you got to know a little Spanish.
Little Espanol, absolutely.
Un poquito de Espanol. Algún día necesitamos haga una show todo en español, ¿sí?
Sí, sí, claro que sí. Cuando quieras.
Sí, hoy. Empezamos ahora.
Ahora mismo. Okay, Steve Dean right here says it's my birthday. All I want is a Cubs clinch. I think that's kind of all that what we all want right now.
And happy birthday, Steve.
And, taking a look at last night, as we were saying, it was just a crazy game when you looked at it all. And it Five homers, four guys. You know, you had a lot going on here. And, Darvish finishes with an 8-3 record, 2.01 ERA, 93 strikeouts. I don't know about you personally, but I would like to see Hendricks get the first start and then give you a little bit more time to rest. You know what I'm saying? I think the 8 days is a lot for Hendricks to be off. I would start it with Hendricks, in my opinion. Ed Hartig, though, Cubs historian, puts a great note up here. The 10 runs scored by the Cubs last night were as many as the team had scored in the previous 7 games. Marks the first time the club scored as many or more runs than in the previous 7 games combined since May 2nd of 1992 when the Cubs beat the Reds 10-7. The 90s were brutal.
Well, I pointed that out last night that they hadn't scored. Oh, there went Crawley. But I pointed that out last night that the Cubs had scored 10 runs in the previous entire week of games. And then this time they got scored 10 in 1 day, which my fear is personally that the problem with scoring all those runs last night, and I know it's a meatball thing to say, too many runs. Now they're going to be tired from running around the bases all night. You know, they're going to be tired from all the excitement from the bat flip and the throwing at each other and all that stuff. These are old guys. They get their one adrenaline rush. They're going to score one run. And I'll be perfectly honest, and I don't want to bring down the room here, but I am frightened of tonight's matchup. You know, I have conflicting feelings. First of all, it should be Colonel Clinch Day. It's St. Clinchington's Day. But if you look at this matchup, and can I put it up real quick?
Go for it, yeah.
All right. John Lester, you know, he's the crafty veteran. You know, he's looked good lately. 6 shutout innings last time against the Pirates on Monday. He struck out one, and he walked one. So he's pitching to contact, and he's a left-handed pitcher. Okay, so unfortunately, the White Sox hit the crap out of left-handed pitching. So I'm a little frightened of that, because last time that the Cubs faced John Lester, here it is, you could see that he gave up 8 runs in 3.2 innings. Now, that was at Wrigley Field, so here's another caveat, because I want to put this up, which is, I believe this is it, about John Lester. No, wait, that's not it. Right here, this one, his home road splits, 7.88 ERA at home and 1.89 on the road. But does this count as a road game? Because you're in your home city.
We talked a little.
Lots going on there.
To me, it you know, in a short season, that horrible start against the White Sox where he just got hit like a piñata, that's going to throw it off. And in a short season with limited starts, you know, you're not going to have an opportunity to get that down. So it is what it is. The White Sox have left-handed pitching good. Lester has made a lot of adjustments since he was right in the middle of a real bad stretch of pitching. And if you follow John Lester since like 2017, even, he's had these stretches where things just don't, he just looks bad. And everyone keeps saying, is this it? Is this it? And all of a sudden, then he kind of bounces back a little bit. And, you know, John Lester's a big game type pitcher. I don't know. I mean, the Sox are a good hitting team. They hit lefties good. So anything can happen. But I don't think I'm going to take too much away from that last start. I'd throw that in the garbage, to be honest.
The wait is finally over. Football's back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team and player coaching props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on win division and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. We thank them for sponsoring the Sun Ranto Show.
And that was also a month ago, more than a month ago. So if you know, the last 3 games, he's been really good. You know, he's gone 6, he's gone 5, he's gone 6, and he's only given up 2 runs in basically the last 17 innings. So
Ryan Nichols said, "Let's hope the wind is blowing in 20 miles from left." I'm all for that. Wind blowing in, we're in good shape. But you know, he's been doing much better, and I think there's going to be a very short leash tonight. I think that if something happens, you know, you may see somebody else come in right away and take some innings.
Well, who would it be? Somebody like Ray? Because they got Adbert going tomorrow. And, you know, Mills, I mean, when was the last time he pitched? It's been a second.
Right.
It's on Thursday, so I don't think Mills is ready. Like, they don't really – Quintana could go. But you don't want a back-to-back back-to-back lefties, you know. But maybe – I mean – here's the thing. You're hoping Johnny can go 5 and then you bullpen out the rest of the game tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because here's the other thing about tonight. So we're going up against Dane Dunning. This is the other thing that worries me. He's a right-handed pitcher. The White Sox are 5-1 in games that are started by Dunning. And he finished with a no decision last time in Cleveland on Monday. And struck out 33, walked 10 over 31 innings. So he's good. But here's the problem, and here's his game log. He went 7 against Minnesota recently, gave up 2. He didn't look good last time versus Cleveland, but he's looked pretty good this year. He's given up 3 runs in most of his starts. This is only his 7th game in the major leagues, and here's the thing. Cubs haven't faced him. Not a single one of us have faced him. And so you know what these guys look like. You know, I know it's maybe an old wives' tale or whatever about how the Cubs do poorly against guys they haven't faced before, but I actually think that's true. And so if you think, I don't know, are you? Crawley's optimistic?
I'm optimistic.
All right. Were you thinking that maybe it's a trap game in the other direction?
No, I think that Dane Dunning is a guy that people are starting to get a book on. You know, there wasn't a lot on him. And he's kind of looked shaky the last time out, you know. And so we'll see what happens. And here's another thing, is how many big games has Dane Dunning pitched in? Games that mean a ton. I know it sounds stupid, but some guys can get up for the big game, and some guys shit their pants. And I'm hoping that this guy shits his pants, to be honest with you. It seems like he's been in kind of a struggle mode. What I would like to see is the Cubs offense continue that approach yesterday, where it didn't like they didn't look clueless yesterday. They look like they had good approaches to their bat, and David Ross talked about that yesterday. So I would love for them to just put up 3-4 runs early, get to the White Sox, because we saw White Sox, like we talked about in the postgame. I said that the White Sox went full tilt yesterday. They got completely discombobulated, okay? They completely lost their shit. They were down, what, after that Wilson home run, 4-0? Schwarber hit a solo, and then Wilson hit the 3-run bomb. 4-0 for a team that has the firepower that the Sox, that's not the end of the world. And they just defensively, mentally,
they fell apart.
This is a time of year that these White Sox players, none of them, these guys haven't been in the postseason in over a decade, I think. In 2008, I want to say it's the last time they were in the postseason.
Yeah, it's been a long time, yeah.
So they haven't played any games that had any importance, any meaning, anything. And regular season games, this is about as when you look, and we can look really quickly in a minute about at the way the standings look, they are playing right now for major seeding, because as far as it goes, the Twins, Cleveland, and the White Sox are all bunched up. So there's a pressure on them, like nobody on that team really, I'm trying to think, Dallas Keuchel may be the only one that really, has experienced something like this, and he ain't pitching. So,
yeah,
different story.
Yeah, no, they don't really have a lot of veterans on this team. This is a young and exciting team, and I think Levante was telling us last night that they've arrived early, and they all kind of know that right now. Whereas the Cubs, they've been in this position where we've seen that backfire on them as well. You know what I mean? Because they've been in this position, so they like rest back on their laurels, and we've seen these slump timbers hitting them in the ass. This week being, if you want to, this is a season in which every game counts as three, pretty much. You know what I mean? So if you look at what happened against the Pirates, that's basically a 9-game losing streak against the worst team in baseball is what that adds up to. You know what I mean? So it's like, so you look, that still manages to be this mini slump timber at a time. Oh, dude, I wanted to show you. Look, St. Clinton's Day. I did my nails, Cubby Blue. My sister had some nail polish out, and her fiance, and we all did our nails together.
Nice.
So I dressed up for the occasion today.
Ryan Nichols put a good point. Yes, Manny Grandal has experience in this, but put up the lineup for me, Danny. Let me see the lineup for them. The White
Sox. For the White Sox. All right, we got Tim Anderson leading off.
Right, no experience. Nope, big type games.
Moncada.
Nope.
Abreu.
Nope.
Edwin Encarnacion. I mean,
yeah, but he's really, I don't know.
James McCann.
Yeah, maybe. He does.
Yeah, Luis Robert. No.
No.
Engel. No.
Nomar
Mazara. And Madrigal.
Yeah, you're talking about Edwin Encarnacion. He's not really that good on the team. And James McCann. So, Grandal, he's not in the lineup, right?
But neither did the 2015 Cubs. You know what I mean?
You had Ben Zobrist, who was somebody that...
You did not in 2015, you did.
No, that was 2016. You're right. So, yeah, I mean, who knows?
You were playing against Jason Hayward. he wasn't even on the team.
But here's the thing about the 2015 Cubs.
Lester.
Lester was... Yeah, 2015 was Lester. They went on a run, and I think that as they went on that run, they got hot late, and so they didn't slump much at the end, and so you're seeing here that the White Sox are slumping at the worst possible time.
Yeah, which we've seen for the last 3 years, and even a little bit this year, until we like ran into a good game last night, and so you just want to see them continue to build on it. But we've said it all year, like these guys come out, they score a bunch of runs, they win a few games in a row, they string something together, and then all of a sudden it's like a Jekyll and Hyde situation, and they completely disappear. And it's not that they like run into some bad luck, that they still scored some runs, gives away games late or something like that. No, they absolutely are hitting like three hits a game, which even the worst Cubs team that we watched in the 80s, in the 90s, we didn't see three hit You know what I mean? At least they would go and maybe get like 7 hits or something. They'd lose 4-3 or, you know what I mean? At least that, you know, but, you know, this offense just disappears. And we've seen this even with the 2016 squad, which is a lot of the same guys, that they would just disappear for a couple of days. But now these slumps seem to be a little bit more prolonged. But let's look at the Cubs lineup, because there is some a bit of good news, or interesting news, I should say. You got Happ back at the leadoff spot. Anthony Rizzo batting second. Contreras batting third, which I think is the right thing. He is one of your best hitters right now.
And he hits the Sox real well.
Yeah, and he kills them. So you want your best hitter up there third. Jason Hayward hitting fourth. I like that against a righty. Also one of your best hitters. You got to do something. And then the return of Chris Bryant and his 2 home run, 5 RBI 2020 campaign. So, like, you know, if he can turn it on right about now, that'd be awesome. I hope he's well. Kyle Schwarber also batting under 200, but he's got 11 dogs on the season. Javier Baez batting 7th, just over that Mendoza line after his performance last night. Had a dong and hit a double left-handed. Jason Kipnis, another lefty in there at 2nd. And Victor Caratini, the DH, batting 9th. So I'll say if Michael were here, it's like, but the DH is supposed to be the best hitter on the team. You bat him 9th. What the crap is that? Might as well have a pitcher in there. So that's something Michael Cotton would say if he was here right now. So, I don't go on as long as him or squeal like a banshee like he does. But let's see what the implications of this game are. Here's the NL Central. St. Louis is 3 games out. They're playing at the same time that the Cubs are tonight. So we'll be all scoreboard watching because a combination of their winning and us winning and them losing. Cincinnati, by the way, clinched already. And, Milwaukee is not eliminated because if we look at the –
Right, Milwaukee's fighting for their playoff lives right now. They are on the outside looking in. They are 28-30, and San Francisco is 29-29, and Philly's in there too. I don't know. Former Cub news: Jeff Samardzija DFA'd today.
I got a little note on that. Check this out: the San Francisco Giants tweeted out that Jeff Samardzija designated for assignment and placed on unconditional release waivers. I guess that means he can just go wherever. Pitch 1 game tomorrow and then be on a playoff roster? Would that be how that works?
That's where my brain went. No, he's coming off an injury. He hasn't played at all this year. I mean, he's done for the season. So he still made $90 million. So he made the right move not playing football. And he's not going to have his head crushed and a bunch of concussions. So you know, it's the thing that's going to be important to me that I'm looking at is the Cubs just got to get off to a good start. You know what I mean? You want to just get a big hit early, first 3 innings, first 4 innings. Put the pressure on the White Sox. And like you said, everybody's going to be scoreboard watching. Don't tell me the Cardinals ain't going to be looking up at the board. And don't tell me the Cubs. Everybody's going to kind of be watching to see what's going on here because the playoff picture is one that's interesting. And so, you know, the Cubs have 2 bites at the apple here, 2 shots to get it done. They've already clinched their share of the NL Central title. And so the worst they can do is tie, and then you start going into all sorts of other things, figure out who's the top dog or top seed, all that stuff. But you've put more pressure by winning last night on the St. Louis Cardinals. And whether the Brewers can step up to the challenge, that's the big question.
Yeah, I think the Cubs, you know, as I said, I don't really like tonight's matchup that much, but anything can happen. I know that the White Sox numbers versus Lester are a little troubling. You look at Edwin Encarnacion with his 3 homers, even though he's batting only 200, but Jose Abreu tears him up. James McCann is in there batting 364. They've seen him a lot. So, I mean, but who hasn't at this point? John Lester has been, seen more times than a core on a Navy base. I don't know what I was looking for there with a euphemism.
A lot of people believe that there's a good chance Lester will be back. We don't know that. I don't know that. Nobody knows what the finances are going to look like, what the budget is going to look like next year. So everybody says, yeah, they'll probably try to rework something. Maybe they will. But here's the thing. John Lester is thinking this may be his final regular season start in a Cubs uniform. And So you look at this now and you say, man, you also wonder how much emotion you're going to play into these guys. You don't want them to press. You don't want anyone to press. You know these guys want to go out and John's potential last regular season home game, you know they want to bring him out a winner. You know what I mean?
And that would be a beautiful thing. I mean, this is kind of like a home game, wouldn't you say? Don't you think this?
I mean, you're in Chicago. You're home. I mean, you're going to be sleeping in your own bed.
Just sleeping in your bed. Yeah, exactly. You're not at a hotel wondering. Hey, Crawley, is there any way you could like put your phone in one place and not hold it? Because you're really crackly sometimes. You know, we're getting comments being like, "This connection is about as good as the Cubs air." Put it up against your beer and give us 5 minutes. There you go.
How's that?
Much less crackly, you know. I don't know. We really don't even have that much to add at this point, you know. I think you're looking at the veteran versus the rookie. You're looking at a team like the White Sox that are really great against left-handed pitching, against a team that seems to be really crappy against pitching that they've never seen before. So let's hope BDJ can somehow get in there. And, well, actually, you're right. I think the Cubs need – it's the offense that needs to show up today. You know, and you got to give Lester something to hang his hat on so he doesn't have to go in there pitching, you know, like so fine, you know, that it's a situation that if he hangs one, you know, that it's the loss is right there, you know, as soon as you hang one. They can't make him have to do like one of those 2-1s or 1-0s or 3-2s. Get in there, put up 6 runs in the first 3 innings, you know, continue where you left off last night. You know, this Dane Dunning, he's a rook. Hopefully you studied all day. You had all day to study and take COVID tests. So just show the hell up. You know what I mean?
The main thing is taking a look and having good at bats and trying to make sure that you are swinging on aggressively on the counts. When you see that your pitch, hit it, barrel it up and go. Don't sit there check swinging. We talked about check sponsor of the Chicago Cubs. No checks. Okay. Sit there and swing at the damn ball. See it, recognize it and make him work. Have those grinding at bats where I want to see 20-25 pitches that Dunning's throwing.
Foul them off. Just keep fouling them off until you get your pitch and then dump one annoyingly. Babbitt it into just dump it oppo into right field and then take a second base because their left fielder, who's playing left field tonight, because their left fielder dogs it. Because, I think the Cubs will be very aggressive tonight. We saw that with Wills Contreras on the base pads, you know, and after he got hit, he ended up scoring on a couple of White Sox mistakes as the wheels fell off their bus. And you know what? It is possible that they are in a situation where the wheels are falling off their bus. They have lost, what, 7 straight
right now? And their manager, Rick Renteria, I'm sure he's going to be in the tunnel yelling shit, you know, like he can't quote-unquote be at the game. I don't know. I know that. So did anyone see what Cooper got? Don Cooper, is he out tonight or is he out Sunday? Or I didn't see anything. I know Ricky Renteria is sitting out tonight.
Okay.
I just don't know about Cooper, but you wonder too, you know, how that, just the dynamics. And I was watching, I was on Twitter. I saw Frank Thomas talk about how embarrassing it was and how lucky it was that the White Sox fans weren't there last night. And so, in a way, not having fans, this may be helping the Sox in this situation because they probably would be on pins and needles, and they would have gotten, you know, the White Sox crowd would have been pissed. I would have been pissed if I was a White Sox fan last night at what happened. It was a disheartening situation on the South side, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's no fans there. You try to forget about yesterday, but again, these are young guys that don't have the experience in these big moments. So how it plays out, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. Score some damn runs right away. Go out there swinging, be up there, be aggressive, this kid, you can get him on the ropes early. You know, his last start wasn't so great. You know, he's probably nervous as hell. bit, you know, young kid in a big game, you know, can he step up? I don't know, man. But I guarantee that our guys have the experience of how to take advantage of him. And I think that was a lot of Wilson Contreras' behavior last night. He's like, let's step on some necks. It's time to step on some necks. These are the young little whippersnappers. They got no experience. You know, let's get at them early and let's I'm looking for how about a 7-run first inning and just like let's just relax. Then we just like, you know, kick back, open up a few white claws, paint our nails, have a nice time of it. So
I will say again, I'm looking by the third inning. I'd like to see the Cubs put up 3 to 4 runs. That's what I'm looking at. So very similar to last night's game where all of a sudden you just break through that dam, it opens up, and then just go right through there and take it. And I would love to see that happen. I don't want to rely on Milwaukee. But again, Milwaukee, too, fighting for their playoff life. So let's see how I'm very curious to see what kind of battle they put up against the Cardinals tonight. And I believe the wily veteran, Adam Wainwright's going for the Cardinals. So. And Brandon Woodruff is going for the Brewers, who was their opening day starter. We saw him. So I'd love to see – I think that's going to be a good game too. And I may be flipping between channels depending on how the game's going.
Yeah.
Because this is the type of year I am a big scoreboard watcher. I start early. I like to start at the beginning of September normally on a normal season. So, you know, I'll be scoreboard watching for sure. I'll have, like, the game on my TV and game day on my phone. And I'll be paying attention. It's going to be hopefully – an exciting night of baseball, but I would love to see the Cubs just take care of their own business and be able to really have fun. Because you saw the other day when they clinched the playoff spot in Pittsburgh, we were joking around about it. You know, they got walked off, you know, and it just wasn't that great. I would like to see them, you know, get the T-shirts, get the hats, take a picture on the mound, and be happy and accomplished in what they did in a very, very trying season for every team that had to do this. You know, there's a lot of guys that weren't sure if they wanted to play this year. First year for David Ross. Definitely wasn't easy to have your spring training and then have to do a complete freeze and then a quick start up again. You know, I don't care what anyone says. There's a lot that went into this season that you didn't have to – adversities that these guys, nobody's ever faced. None of us have. And so I'm hoping that they are rewarded tonight with the celebration that they earned themselves.
Yeah, man, let's do it. And if you want to help us earn a little bit something ourselves, why don't you subscribe to us at patreon.com/sunranto. There's perks at all the different levels. It's only $1 a month to get in, and it's fun. It's something you should do. So
it pays for this broadcast. It pays for tickets. Pays for beers. And we've been struggling financially. I had to pawn my computer to try to get to a rooftop for the playoffs. That's why I'm on my phone. I no longer have a computer. So hopefully if you contribute, we'll be able to get me a new computer and the connection problems will be a thing of the past.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get you some new Bluetooth something so you don't have some crackly wire. Like I swear to God, I thought I was talking to Thomas Edison on the first phone call the entire time. You ever hear a tape of that? You know, it's like, I am Thomas Edison. Actually, they recorded you know what they did? They recorded music. That's when they had a music going through the first, I don't know, I'm probably conflating stories. But either way, go Cubs, Spagog, and let's get the hell out of here with some kind of music. How about the night the backup catcher got the win?
That'll get you pumped up.
Yeah, because I was thinking, last night we saw a position player in there. I love that stuff. Except for when the Cubs do it, we win baseball games. So let's. Here's the ballad of John Baker, Spagog. See you after the game.
Spagog.
Spagog.
Jackson. somehow. At which point, Starling Castle in a sacrifice fly, winning the game! John Baker finally won it in 16. On the most exciting sack fly this baseball fantasy scene. But I sort of missed it, I was drunk and shot a machine. The night the backup catcher got the win. The night the backup catcher got the win. Got the win. The night the backup catcher got the win. Got the win. Oh, they threatened us with handcuffs when we tried to sneak back in. The night the backup catcher got the win. The night the backup catcher got the win.
Gentlemen, when was the last time you shaved your nuts? I mean, come on. Quarantine's been going on. You know, you probably let yourself go a little bit. Possibly your balls are way too furry. Well, I've got the solution for you. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0. It's a premium electric trimmer. It's designed to give you confidence. And it's going to boost your body image. I can guarantee it. Got a ceramic blade, skin-safe technology. It's designed to reduce nicks or tugs on your fellas down low. And that is very important because that's a bit of a sensitive area. Now, the Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof. Comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower, in the dark, or possibly in a dark shower. Whatever floats your boat. They also just released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit. Featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tipped tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. The Shears 2.0 nail kit also allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. On their website, you'll also find the Crop Preserver. It's an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, and this will help you tame that summer swamp ass with natural hydrators and antioxidants. You'll also find the Crop Reviver, a testy toner that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. Now, we won't judge you if we catch you sniffing yourself, but we will judge you if you have hairy, smelly balls. So go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, did you know that listeners of this show, the Sun Ranto Show, will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com? That's 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use code ARMCHAIR. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving your front trunk. The Sun Ranto Show is also brought to you by Bet Online. Now, we're not at the game this year, but you can be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline.ag is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. Game spreads, totals, team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. Start off wagering on win division and championship futures now. Head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Post-game. Cubs post-game. Cubs post-game, from the Sun Ranto Show! Post-game, Cubs post-game, Cubs post-game, Cubs post-game, from the Sun Ranto Show!
News in 925 World Radio Win Division. I'm barely alive and they botched my circumcision. Ooh, dude. Hey, you win.
Hey, the Cubs are the Central Division champions.
Clint, what the hell's in Grandpa Rossi's ear? It looks like somebody came right on his earlobe there.
Yeah,
it's a big splotch of white.
Yeah, it's something about Mary.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, guys. I mean, here's an asset I've got for you. That in the same year
that we started doing pre and post game, the Cubs won the National League Central Division.
That's right. Hey, yeah. And we're back in the playoffs. Since I've been on this show, they've only missed the playoffs 1 year.
Oh, I so like
guys,
it.
You know what? I know. Honestly, probably the game didn't turn out, but what we were really truly hoping for in all of this was to clinch and make tomorrow not worth anything. And, you know, growing up like we did and not seeing a lot of postseasons, you know, it wasn't until the 2000s. I mean, you know, in the all the way, you know, we were all born in the 70s, going through the 80s, you know, all the way through the 90s to 2000, we saw three postseasons. You know what I mean?
Well, it was, yeah, 98 was the first time they did anything, but it didn't last long.
Right. So you had 84, 89, 98.
Same with me. I mean, that's pretty much my sex life in the 90s. It's the first time I did anything, but it didn't last that long.
And then you had to wait 5 years for the next time, right?
Yeah, exactly. they used to call that a dry spell.
Three division titles in 5 years, you know, and a World Series title in there. You have a pennant. You have three NLCS appearances. And I know Michael doesn't like it, but the wild card game still counts.
No, so, it doesn't.
Yep, it
fuck
does.
Off. It doesn't. That is postseason. It is not playoffs. There is a difference.
Win or go home, playoffs.
That's a play-in. It is a play-in, and anybody who says anything else is wrong. That's just the facts. Jack.
Let's talk about this game though, real quick. We can reminisce about all the times that we clinched things, all the four times in our lives that they've ever clinched anything later. But this game, they pissed away, in my opinion. They had the White Sox right where they wanted them. Chris Bryant, with his brand new high socks, back in the lineup, comes through in a way that I haven't seen in a long ass time. Like something had changed. Like in that moment, and it might just be an anomaly and a fluke and just one of those fun things that happened. But that was exciting as hell to see that. And I thought that at that point they had stepped on the neck of the White Sox. And then they proceeded to play incredibly sloppy baseball. Like Jay Hay coming up short on that outfield fly. Kipnis, nobody called that ball. That was a catchable baseball. You know what I mean? Durr, yeah, exactly.
You really honestly cannot have Jason Kipnis as your everyday or as your defensive second baseman during the postseason. He's just bad at it. He's not good. And so have him DH. You got the DH. Let's kind of, you know, nix the Vic Caratini thing, and let's just kind of have it go that way, because I think that's the best bet is defensively. You know, Kipnis is such a liability, and he's okay. It's just I wouldn't say that it's anything that you want to be like, oh, we need him. You know, it's like, no, you don't. You're really, you know, he can hit. That's fine. But I would rather have Horner out there and have the best defense out there, because not having the best defense out there today hurt you.
Yeah, and Horner seems to play better with Javi. Like, you know, if I don't know how just the singular Kipnis versus Horner is, but Kipnis with Javi and Horner with Javi, it's clearly a Horner-Javi combination is better.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it's probably just kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a youth thing in a way. You know, Javi is just like so in the moment, and you can see that Horner just looks up to Javi, because like as soon as Horner makes a great – exactly. As soon as Horner makes a great play, where does he look first? Probably right to Javi. He's like, oh, you see that, Dad? You taught me how to do this, you know? Like, you know Horner's out there practicing no-look tags and wants to be even half the second baseman that Javi is. But, like, no, I agree. Like, you know, you can't have old legs out there. But, hey, let's talk a little bit about Angel Hernandez and that strike zone tonight. Wow. I mean, I don't know how it was bad for everybody, of course, but, like, how this man remains a major league umpire is beyond me. I don't get it. Like, and now I'm just tired of it. I'm like, I barely can even muster a tweet making fun of it now, because I'm just like, oh, I've just been bitching about this for too long. Like Joe West and his chins and all that garbage, you know.
You can say what you want about Joe West and the ump show that he always puts on, which is annoying, but he's not as horrible as, you know, you think he is. The one that's really horrible really is Angel Hernandez. He really is about as bad as they get. And you saw it today on both sides,
Awesome. Yeah, no, people don't like Joe, but yeah, Angel Hernandez is worse. BJ Buckner, CB Buckner, clinically blind Buckner, criminally blind Buckner. Those guys, there are worse ones out there, but Joe still blows. I still don't like him. But I think tonight, I think the wind was blowing the strike zone all over. It was too windy for a stable strike zone.
I'm here in Chicago. I'm in Palatine, Illinois. If you must have noticed, people that watch this show, usually I'm not on my normal situation. I got no microphone. I got just these stupid ear things that I think make me look like a douchebag. Like, I'm sorry. I've decided I got these. I thought they'd be cool. I think that people that wear these look like freaking douchebags. Like, I'm just going to come down on that side. But either way, we sound different. I'm at my mom's house. The wind is swirling around is what I'm trying to say. It is a swirly. You could feel fall blowing in. We're about to hit some September, October baseball. We're going to get into some playoff world. And I guarantee the Chicago winds can blow these things like straight out of your ear at any given time and just ruin any broadcast.
Well, just looking at it today, I mean, it was, you knew that we talked about last night, the Sox were going to come out with everything they had, And Lester, like I said, he didn't pitch horrible. He didn't pitch great. But there was, that, like we said, that key inning that really hurt them, that grand slam by Chris Bryant. You know, you're down 2-1, and you're hoping to do something. And then all of a sudden, you just have a inning that is just absolutely awful in every which way about it as far as the defense and everything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I know the wind was swirling around. They were throwing the ball over the place. Javi, threw the ball past Rizzo. What else?
KB had a couple. That was past Rizzo.
KB had one.
That one was funny because it was a tough play, but it was very reminiscent of the last play of the World Series. I wish I would have taped it, and I'm watching it on Apple TV, so I can't go back and record. And because a lot of times when I'm at home, I'll rewind and then tape something that I think's cool. But that last play was like the Chris Bryant nightmare. If you ever woke up with the cold sweats on that, where KB on the last play of the World Series, he slips and he throws the ball and it starts sailing and Rizzo catches it. This time though was very eerily similar play, except the ball goes over Rizzo's glove.
I'll have to watch that. I was driving back from a 10-year-old's birthday party and just missed that inning. Like, I got back I didn't understand what had happened with the score.
Well, Matt McClure has it right here. Worst inning of the season as far as I can remember. So in fact, driving back from a 10-year-old's birthday party, more enjoyable than that inning. So you actually win tonight, Michael Cotton, because let's face it, the Cubs, they're not going to be celebrating on the mound after a win. You don't celebrate a loss. You don't go out on the field and you lost 9-5. What a way to win divisions. And, that just seems typical of this year and kind of how they played. They did win without that 13-3 start. And you know what? That means a lot to me. And I'll be positive for a moment about it because, there was a lot of questions. If you think back to how we all felt, we didn't know if the season was going to happen. And then they implemented the season and, everybody was, wondering is there going to be fans? Who's going to opt in, opt out? Like, we've been through a lot and they've been through even more. We're just sitting here watching this, them do it. They're living it, right? And they came in first. And they beat the same guys that had played them to even the last bunch of years and beaten them last few years. You got beat by the Cardinals and the Brewers the last couple of years, even though you had the biggest payroll. And this year, they were able to come out and do the thing that it took, which was a 13-3 start to get that moment done. Because you beat up on the White Sox last night, and you couldn't do it tonight. You let them beat up on you, which – by the way, I did call the nature of this game.
This was one we were worried about for sure. And, but again, things looked exactly when we talked about this before on the pregame show, Danny, we were talking about get to Dunning early. They did that, make them work. And then all of a sudden, the one thing is the Cubs defensively have looked a lot tighter this year. And to watch all those plays in that inning, that it was a, you know, it was that drop ball in between Kipnis and Hayward. That, and the funny thing is, none of them were called errors. There was a play where Javi was indecisive. It was an infield single.
Wanted to go home, yeah, and then decided to get approach was too late, yeah.
Right, and then you had three walks in the inning, and that just doomed you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, who do you have the line? Did you upload the line or not? Yeah, we can look at it real quick.
Yeah, are you looking for Cubs the pitching?
Yeah.
So you Lester struggled 3.2.
Jason Adam with those three walks, like that killed me. You know, I was just like, why is, you know, I know he's running into some good stuff, but like, I don't know.
He was throwing everything just above that strike zone.
Yep. Like
I'm sorry, but if you walk three dudes when Angel Hernandez is the umpire, there is something terribly wrong with your pitching.
Here's what I'm going to tell you is that if I was just, and I don't know what they see or don't see, but if I was watching the game, and then all of a sudden Adam was throwing the ball, where earlier it was being called strikes. Okay, so that I think was kind of confusing. My concern more was with John Lester throwing those walking people when you have that big lead that you had. That was what killed you right there. And so he only goes 3.2 innings. Tapera makes a big hangs one over for Abreu. That knocks him, you know, that really kind of hurt,
yeah,
too.
That three-run double.
Oh, yeah,
kind of.
And so, you know, the Cubs got on early. Like I said, Bryant had a good game. He had a single and a walk, which was great. And then Baez grounded into a force out, but there was a throwing error, and Bryant scores. And so
sloppy. That was some sloppy play. You're going to lose. You can't afford to lose games anymore after tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last game you can afford to lose. Everything else will hurt you exponentially, and it'll end your year early.
We actually had a question about that in the chat. Dominique Gayoro, B-Squad game tomorrow, or do they go with the regulars?
I go B. You know, there is a couple of days off, but I'm sure they want to give these guys a rest. I know it's a game season.
B-Squad's the only guys that are hitting. Like
B-Squad's our best squad.
Who's that's the what B-squad? Stands for. Yeah, you better give Hayward a rest, you know, like sit him down. Give Cameron Maven the day off, that's for sure.
I think they're going to go B-Day on it is going to be my guess. Is that you have a couple days before you have to start. I think you start October 2nd. So I think once you start October 2nd, it doesn't matter tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't matter. Right. Rest everybody. Don't even worry about it. You know, I know everybody wants to try to win the BP Cup, but you're gonna have to give that up to the White Sox. Let them have it, and then really focus on the postseason.
I think we would end up tying, right? Because I think the White Sox won 2 of 3 earlier, and then the Cubs are going to win.
Right.
Oh, so no.
Then the Cubs would win tomorrow
to tie it. You're right.
And because we won earlier, we would get that precious cup back.
Yeah. Fuck the BP Cup.
But, yeah, it's you're now.
We have to crawl it. Michael, we have to steal the BP Cup at some point. You know, it's a crime of opportunity, which we will definitely have the opportunity at some point to steal that BB Cup sometime.
Lakes 11.
We'll give it back.
Sun Ranto.
Look, yeah, exactly. Just one of these days we're going to find it in the dumpster by Wrigley. That's what's going to end up happening.
It'll get thrown out with Ron Santo's birthday cake.
Right.
And his leg.
Don asked, does a Marlins win guarantee them at Wrigley? No, that's already guaranteed. The Cubs have... The wild card series will be at Wrigley Field the first three games. So if you got $600-$700, you know, or if you want to up your Patreon subscriptions, maybe we can get in there. Yep. But
and if people are maybe wondering why I didn't come in here fucking bitching about people getting excited about the clinch here, it is a little different today than it was a few days ago. This clinch was the actual division. It's like a real thing. Like they get a fucking, I don't know if they get medals or trophies. Do they give them anything other than a pennant, like a little flag for the division?
A t-shirt that says postseason.
Yeah, exactly. But winning the postseason is a big – or postseason. Winning the division is actually a big deal. And we saw how hard it was to pull it off this year after such a good start. You know, and earlier this week, that was literally like, oh, you just, you clinched the opportunity to play later. Like, that was it. And then I was honestly really worried, Danny. You brought up the bunting at Wrigley. And I got real nervous there for a little bit that there was going to be no gameplay at Wrigley.
There was,
I mean, we could
W flag.
Yeah, we could have gotten a lot of mileage if we had missed the division. You know, we could have bitched about it all off season. We'd have had a lot of material, but I'm glad it didn't happen that way. You know, it was nice. Hey, at least they got it done a day early. You know, it would have been nice to get it done against Pittsburgh. That would have reminded me of, wasn't it 1984 when they clinched in Pittsburgh the division?
Yeah, in 84 they clinched in Pittsburgh, and then in 89 they clinched in Montreal. In 98 they had to play that one game playoff, and that was at Wrigley, but it wasn't the division. And then I was there in 2003 when they clinched on Wrigley Field, and that was the first time I'm forgetting how many. I mean, there was no divisions back then. It was, you just won the pennant. So, you know, I think I'm trying to remember. I think it was the 1930s, the last time the Cubs clinched a pennant at Wrigley. And so that was the first time the Cubs had a post, you know, clinched something, was in 2003 at Wrigley.
Well, we have St. Clinchington to thank, and there he is. I've put him up on the board. And also, thank you, Colonel Clinch.
I mean, go back to Colonel Clinch. That was fucking great. That is great.
We really appreciate your efforts in this season, in the 60-game season. And the Pope is excited, of course, for St. Clinch's Day. And this comes from Brian B-Live, if you follow him on Twitter. So, anyway, I did have one more thing to bring up about tonight. You know, I happened to catch the last few nights, and, you know, usually when I have the game on TV, I'm doing something else. Like, I'm a radio guy. Like, I listen to the radio, and then if something happens, then I'll go watch it and stuff. But, you know, I caught some of the simulated game stuff that they're doing in the marquee broadcast. So I just asked, I was just wondering, like, honestly, I'm a very innocent person. I know I come off as, like, somebody who's, like, you know, worldly and well-read and everything. I kid. But I innocently asked, like, do you enjoy these, you know, simulated games? And, oh, my God, when you get as many comments as you get hearts on Twitter, it means it's a controversial thing. So if here's 100 people are answering, 100 people are hearting, they have something to say, and it's very important. Like, everybody hates it, except for, like, two guys that actually play Strat-O-Matic.
It just seems like we're all excited. We're going to have this marquee network, and you don't have the drop. You know, why are you booing marquee? You know, it's going to be great. But it just seems like there's been so many missteps this year, from the three-man awkward booth to Taylor McGregor, who I heard did a great job in Colorado. But it's just like a lot of weird force stuff. Like, hi, it's in the middle of the game, and I'm in the scoreboard. It's like, what are you doing? Put the game
right. I don't mind Taylor. That is totally production, right? Taylor's not up there going, hey, cut to me, I'm in the scoreboard. Hey, I'm doing shit out here. That's fucking production. That's being like, Taylor, go, you know.
Right. My
go
point
to
is,
Antiques Roadshow real quick.
You guys, I'm like probably about 4,000 vodka sodas away from actually having Taylor's job and being like the guy at the scoreboard that you put up there. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, that's how that works. I mean, that is a gig. Somebody's telling her to do that. Maybe she's coming up with some bitch, probably.
My point of it being, though, is that it just seems like they are trying to be like ESPN, and they don't realize that everybody hates ESPN broadcasts. And so it's overproduced, it's badly done, and it just hasn't been good. I'm disappointed, and I'm, you know. But again, you sit there and you bring a bunch of guys in from New York who think they know what Cub fans, you know.
New York City?
Right.
In a rope.
It just,
you remember that? Back when they used to sell salsa by threatening hanging you. You remember that? Old El Paso. Get a rope. New York City. Oh, we hanged those people. That was so weird. I like this comment from Matt. I actually don't mind Dev in the booth as much as I thought I would. And, you know, I agree. I think he's doing a great job. In fact, well, he's doing a better job than Mark Grace, but like some of these other duds they've got out there, who else did they have? Demp's doing great, though.
Well, Demp got better. Demp learned, right? So when he first started, constant, just jabber, 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 all over the place, stepping on Len, stepping on JD, all over it. And then he realized, oh, other people are on this show. Like, that's not what they need me to do. They need me to pop in every so often. Maybe Doug Glanville got to him, because Doug tended to do a – they would cut to him, but that's how much they needed him, right? Like, when they needed him, he's there. And once Dempster started to kind of fit that role a little bit better, it was he started doing better. Still too many people.
He's toned it down, which has been, you know, he's not, we were worried it was going to be like nothing but Harry Carey impersonations. So I think he's been good, but it's just, I just don't like the production in itself. And you talk about the Strat-O-Matic. I put they put this up there. I tweeted this out earlier. They were talking about World Series Game 4, 2016 Cubs versus the 2005 White Sox. And they had John Lester going 7 shutout innings against the 2005 White Sox. No offense, in 2016, John Lester was god-awful in the postseason. He was literally horrendous. He was not going 7 innings anywhere. I have the World Series box set, the Blu-ray 2016, ate this thing. I went to game 3 and 5 at Wrigley Field of the World Series. I was blessed not to go to game 4. All my friends had come and most of them didn't have tickets. And we actually had a whole basement of a bar and we played Flippy Cup for hours on end because the game sucked so bad. So I think that Blu-ray is just going to be a coaster. I don't think I'll ever watch World Series game 4, but John Lester was awful. So I don't know shit about Strat-O-Matic. I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, especially
if they think John Lackey was throwing 7 innings of shutout ball.
The White Sox were known that year for their small ball. Like, there's no way that they don't just, you know, just wreak havoc by bunting and running and doing shit that John Lester would not have been able to really handle.
Dude,
you know,
Paul Konerko would have taken him across Waveland. I mean, across Sheffield. He would have taken him over the rooftop. It wouldn't have been close. So, no, it was – I don't know what the hell that Strat-O-Matic horseshit was. But I do have to sit there and give thanks to some people that I didn't want to give thanks to. Our friends.
Interesting.
I am in up north where I am in – I'm not in Milwaukee, but I'm by Milwaukee. But tonight, the man that I booed so heartily, Ryan Braun – started the game off with a home run to give the Brewers a 1-0 lead over the Cardinals, and that's all they needed. Our old friend Dan Vogelbach, former Cub, hit a home run to make it 2-0. And then Omar Navarez singled to make it 3-0 as the Brewers beat the Cardinals to make this Central Division possible. So to Ryan Braun, I'm sorry I said you had herpes, fish eyes, steroids, and that you were a cheater.
What?
I'm just kidding. I really feel those things. But, hey, you know what? Congratulations, and thank you, Brewers, for doing what, you know, making our lives easier, because this would have been so much more stressful. We would have
I'm going to cut you off.
Oh, keep laying into him.
Steroids! 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 Herpes! Ryan Braun! Cheating son of a bitch! You cheater! Fish eyes! Herpes!
My God.
That's my favorite part.
Another time.
That's my favorite part when the woman goes, "Oh my God."
And no, my favorite part is when Crawley like sits back with a sense of satisfaction. And, like he just built a house. He's like, my house is a very, very, very fine house.
No, just to kind of give you guys a little background on that, we went to the first game of the season. Our friend Stuart McVicker, Club 400, a couple other guys from there managed to get us a private, like, rooftop kind of workaround deal, long story. And so Danny and his sister came a little bit later, but we just met them. I had met those two girls. One of the guys we were with, it was his girlfriend and her friend. And so that was the first time we met. They were kind of casual Cub fans, but they don't ever realize like my hatred towards Braun and the back history.
Yeah.
It had been a while since people had been outside, too, if you recall. You know, I mean, look back to the last 60 days. If you think, you know, March through May took 8 years, well, so did, I mean, these guys were playing tonight like they were playing game 161. They had the same mental lapses of just like, I'm frazzled and it's crazy. Like, they still played like it was September 26th.
I don't know. I think they're playing kind of like it's the June swoon, only it's not hot. They just are struggling.
Well, you just rhymed twice in 4 words, and that was just that was 5 words. Not hot June swoon.
Right. I'm happy that they're back. They clinched the division. They're going to be in the postseason, and they get home field. So that's all exciting stuff.
No, Crowley, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're the division champions. And I am very happy. It sucks that they did not win tonight, but this is the real thing. There is a new banner going up at Wrigley. It's going to say 2020 Division Champions. It's probably going to have an asterisk right on that piece of cloth, which I think would be amazing if they did that. But they're in the playoffs, and anything can happen at this point.
Dan Winkler apparently writing in tonight quite a bit. Saying, don't trade KB and go Cubs. So Dan Winkler fighting for a job at the last minute here.
Yeah, the W means actually fly the Winkler.
Also accuses me of hating Chris Bryant until tonight. Tonight was the night that I finally liked him.
Good as your last game, Dan. Exactly. Dan Winkler, not Danny Rocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so I'm taking a look here. It looks like, you know, obviously not much has changed. So it looks like it's going to be the Cubs and Marlins. So, you know, we're kicking it back old school, 2003 NLCS. It's the wild card round, but it's going to be interesting to see what the, you know, and again, I just have been so laser focused on the NLAL Central because those were the teams. You know, I really haven't looked at the East or West much at all to see what they're looking or even how the Marlins pulled off what they did. Because they were the first team that really got hit by the COVID bug, and they, you know, they were talking about firing Don Mattingly early in the season, and they've turned it around. So, you know, I don't even know really who they have on the team who's doing well. I know Sixto obviously is a great pitcher.
I saw their lineup the other day, Crawley, and I'm telling you, I half recognized maybe two names of the starting lineup, and even those guys, I thought, maybe that's this other guy from the 80s that I had a baseball card of. You know, I was unsure of all of it. So,
right, yeah, I'm looking at the names. That
they're gonna kick the shit out of us. It's going to be horrible.
it's going to be 0-3 all over again. It's going to be the worst.
Look at this. Eric writes in, Marlins haven't lost a playoff series ever. And fly the W. Dave Winkler's calling in, saying, haven't you been calling for KB's head for the past year and a half? I mean, that's the only thing that didn't put him on the DL. I mean, IL.
Oh, his head? That's a lie, because he got hit in the head in Colorado, and that's the thing that's ruined his whole career.
Robert Sanchez asked, is Castro on the Marlins? No, he was on the Nationals this year.
Yeah,
you know how Castro's always like, you know, 1 year too late for everything, so he's on the Nationals. And then Matt McClure says, if the Marlins knock us out, does Jeter give us gift baskets on our way? That's a good one. I don't know, but I'm sure he's a smooth operator still, so I'm sure the Cubs would get a lovely gift basket, a parting gift.
Oh, my God. I hope the Cubs get a gift basket like the Yankees got a gift basket. Remember when he traded everybody to the Yankees for nothing?
Well, he traded a lot of people. I mean, Christian Yelich, you can put on that list.
Yelich to the Brewers. Yeah, we want some of them gift baskets.
Right.
Well, here's Grandpa Lossie tonight getting a gift basket. And, congratulations to Grandpa Lossie.
Cup of soup in that gift basket.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at the, like you said.
And congratulations to Ian Happ. We had a good conversation about me and my sister and her fiance. They didn't know about Ian Happ and his new hair and his new mom jeans that are tapered 90s style. And everybody had a good laugh over Ian Happ's new jeans. Because, you know, listen, I'm not going to, you know, downgrade. The kids can wear what they want. They can think what is cool is cool. But as a guy who actually went through the 80s, when I'm looking at my aunt tonight with her hair, you know, with a building permit, you know, we all went to high school in 1988. And these girls would spray their hair up like this, you know, and you know, just and you could set the entire girls' bathroom on fire. And the boys' bathroom, too. Like, even, like, think of the hair metal bands and all the hairspray they went through and the makeup, you know, stuff. Well, and, well then, you know, now we got Ian Happ and Mom Jeans. So, like, I mean, I don't know exactly how he's going to feel about this in many years, but I think it might be similar to how I felt looking at my stupid ass and going to prom in, you know, 1991 looking like a goofball, because that's just that's a bad look, dude. Like, I'm sorry, you got to give it up, and you're hitting like crap now. You know,
I didn't even peg my jeans back in the 90s. Like, that just wasn't a thing that was worth doing even back then. So I don't know why he's doing it now. He's trying to bring something back. I guess if you're at the front of it, then you're the coolest.
Well, the strange thing is, it's like this, because neither did I. It was, well, maybe I did like one time, like, you know, maybe I did a little bit, but I will say this though. They're like reminiscing the kids now, because Ian Happ's 20 years younger than I am. And the kids now are reminiscing for a time that we thought was lame at the time.
So I disagree. I fucking love the 90s. The goddamn 90s were the greatest. And I was in the fucking army for, 40% of that time. And that was not the greatest. But the 90s were the fucking best. I enjoyed the shit out of myself. It wasn't until 2000 that, I mean, I got out of the army. I thought, oh, the world is my oyster. And the shit all went downhill from there.
Guys, just to kind of bring it back to baseball.
And now look at it. I'm on this fucking show.
Right.
So I got a new banner for us.
Yeah. So we're taking a look here. And
we haven't even got into it.
Yeah, it's not even the off season yet. We're already doing this.
By the way, though, last night, woo, lit. And I've been paying the fucking price for that all day.
So I'm taking a look here, guys. They asked Chris Bryant tonight what he thinks of the harsh criticism he gets from over injuries, some over performance. And he said, I don't give a shit. That's a good answer. Quote, unquote.
Good. You should grow a fucking pair, and you can thank us for that, because we've been laying into him this whole time. For his whole career, we've been laying into him, and he hasn't even like pulled up yet and like worn the high socks or like Ben Tony Two Chains or any of that crap. He's just swinging like his dad told him. Now he's finally his own man, and it took having a son to do it. Like, I don't know, some guys, you know, like, they, you know, finally he's his own man. This whole time, you feel like he's got a million people's conversations going through his head of what he's supposed to be. And tonight, I saw him show up and at least try on a bit of a persona that does not involve being a squeaky clean Netflix asshole. You know what I mean?
I would love for him to break out in something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're going to be a squeaky clean Netflix asshole, fucking wear some goddamn Disney socks or something. Do something.
Thank you.
To fucking just like be like, hey, let's have some fun.
To an asshole like you and me. Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise I'm going to lay into you. That's how it is. We grew up bullied. Feels that's like Gen X. I don't know what to tell you.
Chris Bryant says he feels like he can go 4-for-4 and it's still not good enough for some people. And it reemphasized that he doesn't give a shit. So, you know, here's the thing. I'm kind of.
Fake it till you make it, Chris. Fake it till you make it. Fake it till you make it.
Well, you know what? He's like, I could go 4-for-4 and people wouldn't care. You know what? How about we try that a few times? Let's see how it works.
Do your job, Chris. Just, go 4-for-4.
Let's just find out if that works. You do 4-for-4 enough times, and then we'll just see if you're right. I'd love to see if he's right.
I'm saying, I was looking at your face fucking 25 foot high on a billboard before you even played a game at Wrigley Field. So you better go 4-for-4 every now and again. Because you know what I mean. I know that's a meatball thing. I'm gonna get fan letters.
Well, I'm just telling you,
non fan letters.
It's one of those things.
Why the W is he's throwing rocks at your window right now. He doesn't realize you're in Palatine.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, bro.
one of those things where, you know, it's going to be very interesting. We talk about whether Chris Bryant is going to, you know, what happens after next year, after 2021, where he's eligible to be a free agent. And this is the first time that I've really kind of heard him show any kind of displeasure, you know, towards anything. Like, usually he kind of just lets it roll off. He's like, no, no big deal, da, da, da. This is the first time I've kind of seen a little bit of an edge on him, so to speak. So it's interesting, and I wonder if there's a lot more than he's letting on. And you know, every time, you know, when people ask him about the, you know, using the counting the clock that year that they did where he had to go to arbitration and all that stuff, I just wonder if the grievance process. I wonder if, you know, he just has been always, like I said, so careful and measured in his responses. This is one of the first time I've really kind of heard him lay down a little bit and just be like, no.
It's been happening ever since the grievance. And like he, you know, there's been a few times recently that he's been coming out of his face and people have liked it more. And I think that he is feeling more confident. He's feeling like his own man. And he has battled a lot of injuries. Like, we all know that. I give KB shit because it's entertaining to talk about, because that's what we do, and sports talk. And I'm mostly goofing around, you know, even though the guy's made of glass at a total wuss, but you know, I kid KB, but you know, it's just like, you know, he's asked to perform at an incredibly high level that none of us can accomplish.
So guys, even he can't accomplish what we're asking him.
Yeah, even he can't. Exactly. He can't even do it.
Now I'm seeing,
which
you know,
is why I hate him so much.
So I'm taking a look here, and this is another, you know, we're getting some more here. It says David Ross on criticism of Bryant on Twitter. I don't really comment on people on Twitter. Those people are, quote, idiots. I'm kind of wondering now if all of a sudden this is starting to become a Dusty Baker type thing, because Javi the other day said the same thing, I think, after Pittsburgh. And so you're starting to see this us versus them rounding the wagon type thing. And
oh, goddamn right. It should be. It should be a us versus them sort of thing. Yeah. If you want your teams to work together well, to pick each other up, to do the things, then, I mean, okay. 2020 was the only good thing that happened in 2020 was the last dance, right? The fucking Chicago Bulls. And the whole thing was showing how Michael Jordan would take somebody who sneezed in a fucking airport four time zones away to heart and then go fucking drop like, you know, 40 points on him. He just made up reasons to fucking round up. He just continually told people they all hate us. They all hate us. They were the fucking rock stars of all of the world. Like, they owned everything. And he still got that team every time just saying, you fucking suck. Everybody hates us. We need to go out and prove that we're the best.
You know, so I've never been.
If that motivates them, if that's a thing, fucking do it. Try it.
Whatever. I mean, I think it's kind of lame-ish in my opinion. I never liked, the one that was the king of that was Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker always was the us, them, you know, us versus you guys. And it got so bad with Dusty that led to Steve Stone leading and problems. So,
well, it depends on who the us and who the them is. If the them is Twitter, fucking you win.
Them out. Yeah.
If the them is the White Sox and they're going to fucking play dirty against them for no reason whatsoever, then that's going to be shitty. Or, you know, if you come out playing weird or doing odd things, you know, that sucks. But if you, if the us is literally just this big fake thing that is the internet, I think you're safe there. I agree with your the general idea of what you're going with there, Crawley. Like, you don't want it to become too much, but yes, you know, there are perfectly fine entities out there to make the scapegoats.
I like it when the team just says, you know what, we don't give a shit what anybody says. We believe in everybody here, and that's that. And that's fine. You know what I mean? But, like, like I said, I have bad flashbacks of that 2014 when I start hearing all that shit. And then all of a sudden always became excuses. And the 2004 Cubs were one of the most unlikable Cubs teams of all time. If you remember, Kent Merker literally called up Steve Stone to bitch at him during the game, during the broadcast. Like, that was when Stone left and eventually became the White Sox. But if you just start – I don't know what Rossi's going to do as a manager – bulletin board material, you know, I don't know. I was told earlier that all the players knew how important it was because they knew that they weren't going to be around much longer. So why do you need bulletin board material if you know that you're kind of, you know, having your last chance together as a team? You really get, like you said, if I was Chris Bryant and I was making as much money as he was and doing all that shit, you think I'd be caring what anyone said about Twitter or anything? I wouldn't, this us versus them type, I don't know, just play, dude. Hit the ball, field the ball.
Okay.
Get the fucking job done, as Lee Ely would say. Hit the ball, catch the ball, get the fucking job done.
Yeah. Right. But
by the way, I'm leaving this party. You guys can argue about this all night.
All right.
But I'm going to go celebrate the clinch. I don't know what you guys want to do. We're 41 minutes into this
podcast. Yeah,
we're going down a rabbit hole of hell. And everybody, we should just be celebrating. And like typical Cub fans, and I got to tell a little story before I sign off.
All right, so I'm leaving. Let me tell another story. All right, final story. Everybody, grab your fucking popcorn. Get your sodas. We're started up.
All right, so Lacey, my sister's fiance, they're getting married October 24th, and she goes, you know, I grew up a Mariners fan, Ichiro, all this stuff, and you know, so she liked baseball always from when she was a kid. And then she fell off. My sister's a big baseball fan, big Cubs fan. So my sister likes watching all the games. So Lacey's like, oh, this is great. I'm marrying a woman who likes baseball too. We can watch it. So she caught on to the Cubs. So we're sitting there, of course, at dinner tonight, talking about the Cubs. And Lacey described Cubs fans as such. She said, you guys have the most fun hating your team than any other fan base I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, absolutely. It's the way we show love is through. And the only reason I told you that I disapproved of your behavior is because I just need you to do better because I love you so much, Cubs. And like, that is, we are the most critical lovers of our team because I am very excited. We won a division tonight. We backed in. It sucked the way it happened, but it's not the first time it's gone down like this, but it is an accomplishment because we've grown up with, you know, it doesn't happen every day. You could have lost the division. You could be the Brewers. You could be the Reds. You could be any other team. You could be a Pirates fan like our man Brian and be that guy. But instead, we're Cubs fans. We got it. So we are very privileged to complain about our first place team that won the division tonight, you know, and, so I'm glad that they complain about us and we complain about them because that's Chicago. You know, we're going to complain because it only means because we love you and we care.
So one thing I do want to say, if you are interested in helping us out, you can go to www.patreon.com/unranto. You see that Danny has been kicked out of his house, and so he's staying at a Motel 8. So if you can do us a favor, we'd like to put Danny up in a nicer hotel room. So just follow that Patreon. Go ahead and help us out. And as that's kind of going out here, I think, you know, we decided we were going to try this crazy experiment of pre and post games, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you guys. We appreciate you guys tuning in, checking out the show, and kind of giving us, you know, feedback and being a part of the show. And that's why we really enjoyed it, was the interactive feature. So thank you guys for following along. We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll definitely be ready for the postseason and hope you guys are there with us too.
Yep. Yeah, super excited. Division, that's where this team should be. It's where this team should always be. There's no fucking reason for them to not be here every year with the lineup that they have. They're a great team. They just need to play like it, and sometimes they do. And let's hope that sometime is coming up shortly.
We're back on top, boys. So we are coming back to Wrigley next Wednesday. But I think right now we should do a little bit of I didn't come here for a haircut, don't you think?
You know what, Danny? I'm going to say this. Let me go. You know me, I would never override a haircut, because that is my favorite song of yours, a John Lackey haircut. But I think this is a good time for a little bit of Our Year. You know, just to kind of celebrate the fact that we're back as division.
That was my second. I was 1-2 with those. Yeah,
I'm with you. I think this is Our Year, because at least division-wise, this is definitely Our Year.
And on Monday, I will have my shirt and hat, gentlemen.
We can't wait to see it.
Begone!
It looked bad for the Cubs. We were down 3-1. But this year was our year. Took a long time to come. Took game 5 at Wrigley, headed back to Cleveland. 'Cause this year was our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget how you came back while rain was falling down. The championship, what Hayward said in the locker room, gave you the strength to play on. Now we're there and we've only just begun. 'Cause this year was our year, took a long time to come. In the top of the 10th, the Cubbies scored 2 runs. 'Cause this year was our year, took a long time to come. No more Billy Goat curses or blaming Bartman. 'Cause this year was our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget how you came back while rain was falling down. The championship, what Hayward said in the locker room, gave you the strength to play on. Now we're there and we've only just begun. 'Cause this year was our year, took a long time to come. And we've only just begun. 'Cause next year is our year. We don't only want one. My, 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 my.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.